want to go higher, baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Elise Zaprina. I've got Lexi Brinkley in studio with me and Alan North. We have a really great show coming up today, and I've been out of the seat for a week. It seems a little awkward to be back. Is that pretty normal, Elise?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? Yeah. So I've got this cold, too, this like little chest cold that won't go away, so my voice sounds a little different.
Kind of like once you get used to it, though, you could take like a week or two off and you'll be right back
yeah,
into
I
it.
Guess that you jump right back in the seat, jump in the saddle. But I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of relaxing. I went to Norman, Oklahoma for a couple of days, helped my daughter get set up in her new apartment for back to school. It feels like back to school today, does it not? Is it just me because of the rainy weather here in Dallas?
This weather is depressing. I can't do it.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I'm affected by the weather, too. I'm one of those
I'm
people.
I'm sleepy. I yep. want to just curl up on the couch and watch a full series of something on Netflix. That's what I want to do.
Well, that's because the sun plays a very important role in how we all feel. You know, sun gazing is something that's very powerful. I started doing it a couple of months ago when I think it was Nick Stern. Was it Nick that told me about it? One of the founders of Sun Warrior. And it really is incredible.
It was actually Denley, his partner.
Oh, was it Denley? Okay.
Yeah.
And actually, Jan's going to be coming up on the show here in the next couple of weeks, I think, because I want to hear her
but
story.
But I think they all do it, though.
They all
sun gaze.
And there's something very real about it. I mean, there are people that swear by it, that it is the key, one of the most essential keys to overall wellness, is just simply getting up and gazing into the sun in the morning, get a little bit of movement, and then in the evening, too, when the sun is going down, to set your clock, so to speak.
Yeah.
And we all have an internal clock. I know I do. But I read so much over the break that I was on. And one of the things I read, I just wanted to share this because so many people drink tea all over the country. And it says our tea bags toxic. It says many of us associate tea with optimal health and relaxation. And for a good reason, a slew of studies show that the micronutrients in tea and green tea in particular may help protect against cardiovascular disease, Alzheimer's, diabetes, and several types of cancer. Now, however, concerns about potential toxins in tea bags and some tea itself have some people wondering if they should toss the beneficial beverage. Well, I don't say that. I think you should just use loose leaf. But the, you know, those little silky packets, that the mesh ones that tea come in, they are the ones that they are saying are the biggest culprit, because such sachets are typically made from polyethylene, blah, 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 PET. Mm-hmm. In other words, terephthalate, it's PET, or food-grade nylon, which are less likely to leach chemicals and have very high melting points. However, experts worry about the plastic sachets, or sachets, I should say, could theoretically still break down and shed synthetic compounds when placed in boiling water. So I think it's best to go with the bottom line is they say that it's no secret that I'm an advocate and aficionado of tea, but it makes sense to take precautions. Use only loose leaf tea that has been certified organic and recommend. That's what they do, the person that wrote this, and that's what they recommend as well.
Gotta worry about everything now.
I know. That's what I was thinking when I was reading it. It's like, I read so much that like everything is starting to freak me out. And, you know, I was in Whole Foods yesterday for a couple hours doing just research, you know, scrutinizing, labeling. And canola oil, I put you on that special assignment. I don't know how far you are into your research yet.
Well, I looked on their website. They did their own.
Whose website?
Whole Foods.
Okay.
They have their own article of defending why they use canola oil and what kind of canola oil they use. And I'll try. Let me pull it up. But it's interesting. They fought back because they've been scrutinized before. So you're
well,
not
it's
the
because
first
it's
person.
Cheap. It is the cheapest oil on the planet. It's not even a real oil. And I don't know why it's in everything.
It is cheap. And that's the bottom line as to why they're using it. I mean, you would think that Whole Foods, and I love Whole Foods. I love shopping at Whole Foods. But the way I was talking about this earlier, the one thing that I don't like about Whole Foods is they use canola oil not only in their packaged foods, but in their prepared foods too.
Yeah, like on the line.
It's in everything. And that one common denominator that we have when how many nutritionists and PhDs have you interviewed on the show? And
everyone.
It seems like 9 out of 10 of them will say that they do not consume canola oil and they believe that humans should not consume it.
Right. And not to mention the way it's overprocessed and everything they have to, you do all this chemical processing even to make it palatable, but then it's genetically modified too.
See, that's what they have on the website. It says that they like broke all these myths. That
theirs
everyone,
is not genetically modified.
Yeah, theirs is not genetically modified. It's, let's see. They just explain how, I guess, people who think all these bad things about canola oil, which I'm not advocating for canola oil, but they're trying to break what mm-hmm. those myths were.
Well, it
almost makes you wish that companies wouldn't go public, because they are public. They have to satisfy the shareholders.
They're publicly traded. Absolutely.
Profit and bottom line is the whole thing, and canola oil is the cheapest uh-huh. of all oils.
Well, and canola oil was first created in the early 1970s as a natural oil, but in 1995, Monsanto, it's funny how that name just keeps coming up everywhere. Monsanto created a genetically modified version of canola oil, and as of 2005, 87% of canola oil grown in the U.S. was genetically modified, and by 2009, 90% of the Canadian crop was genetically engineered. So that's another way maybe they get around it too, saying, oh, well, it's not genetically modified, but genetically engineered. I mean, it's just kind of scary when you turn packages over, and then the whole maltodextrin thing.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be aware of that. It can be put on a label under the guise of potato starch. Am I right? Rice?
It could be under
modified corn starch.
Modified corn starch, corn fiber.
Corn fiber is another word
for maltodextrin. Really, the thing about maltodextrin, and it's fine that maltodextrin, I guess it's fine that it's in products. What I don't like about maltodextrin is how it's labeled. It's not labeled as a sugar.
Right.
They're able to get away with it. Like if you look at a label on any kind of carbohydrate food, you're going to notice total carbohydrates, and then underneath it, you're going to notice grams of sugar. And whenever maltodextrin, and they put maltodextrin in a lot of protein meal replacements.
Yeah, they do. I've got it right here in front of me.
And then when you look at the label, a lot of athletes are saying, well, it's carbohydrate, but it's a good carbohydrate because it's not listed as a sugar, and it should be listed as a sugar because it is a sugar.
Right. And in fact, the glycemic index, it is double what it is for cane sugar, for table sugar.
It's
double.
Like 90.
Yeah, and they don't have to list it as a sugar. And, you know, that in itself should make you just make your hair stand up on your head. The fact that they lie about it. What else are they trying to hide?
They use it in a lot of powders.
It's genetically modified. How much, what percent, isn't all corn? I mean, almost all corn is genetically modified. It's really scary.
And not only that, it's the number one food, as my friend Doug Kaufman would say, it's the number one food that's susceptible to fungus and mycotoxins in terms of the way that it's grown. So it's not something, I mean, if you are going to use it, it would be good to use it. I mean, it would be good to choose organic. But again, back to the maltodextrin, it is pure sugar. It reacts like sugar in the body. If you're trying to lose fat, you definitely don't want that.
Right. Well, and Danny brought this up about a month ago. I remember we were talking about this with one of the doctors on the show, and I had forgotten about this. So I'm reading this from, this is from Hidden Sources of MSG. MSG is processed free glutamic acid. Is that correct? You're the ISSN guy here. Well, anyway, it says everyone knows that some react to the food ingredient monosodium glutamate.
Mm-hmm.
What many don't know is that more than 40 different ingredients contain the chemical monosodium glutamate, which they say is process-free glutamic acid that causes these reactions. The following list has been compiled over the last 20 years from consumer reports and information provided by the manufacturers and food technologies. And so some of the ingredients that always contain processed free glutamic acid, which is MSG, is, it goes down to gelatin, textured protein, whey protein concentrate,
mm-hmm.
whey protein isolate, anything protein fortified, soy sauce extract, anything fermented, anything containing protease, anything containing enzymes. I mean, this is kind of scary.
That is exactly why I'm like you. I believe in organic. I've seen what it takes to make a product or organic. It's legitimate.
It's very difficult.
It's legit in my mind, and when you choose organic, you don't have to worry about a lot of this stuff.
Well, there's a lot of, it says the following are ingredients suspected of containing or creating sufficient processed free glutamic acid, which is another word for MSG, to serve as MSG reactive triggers in highly sensitive people. Cornstarch, corn syrup, modified cornstarch, you know, all these things we're talking about, dextrose, rice syrup, brown rice syrup, milk powder, just all these things that It says reduced fat, skim 1% or 2%.
And you know what? I got to say, it again, in my opinion, it's, you know, you see these types of additives and it's a lot of times it's cheap. It's, you know this, I'm making a product. I'm doing a new company, a nutraceutical. I won't go into too much detail about it right now, but one of the challenges that I had with it, since it's a powder-based delivery, is that that I was told that it could not be manufactured and produced without using maltodextrin. And it, just given the type of people that are going to be using it, there was no way that I could be hypocritical, right, and put something like that in a food a medical food product. And so I'm not doing that, and it's costing me literally hundreds of thousands I'm talking about just starting this,
right.
It'll ultimately be more than that, just to not use and keep the integrity of the product high and not to use that.
Yeah,
so it's cheap to use. That's why people use it.
Yeah, it's scary. Doesn't it scare you, Lexi?
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We've got a really great show coming up. Wow, we blew through that, Elise. I wasn't even ready for break. But you know what? We have a great show coming up. We've got Dr. James Dowd, author of the book, The Vitamin D Cure. He is an integrative, holistic doctor as well. We're going to be talking about breakfast and the importance of it. And then I have Jamie Danick coming up on our entrepreneurial spotlight, Hum Kombucha. We met her at the Expo West. Can't wait to talk with her again. And Dr. Brad Dieter. Our topic again is fructose and burying the boogeyman. You're listening to One Life Radio.
From the Talk Radio 1190 Traffic Center, here's traffic.
We've got a jackknifed 18-wheeler delaying traffic on 20 westbound, starting at Spur 408 and running back to Main Street. It's over on the shoulder of the ramp. 30 westbound at 551 in Rockwall County. Long-term road construction delays back to Industrial Park. Got a wreck clearing on 30 westbound at Carroll Avenue in Dallas with backups to Dolphin Road. 635 LBJ Freeway westbound at Plano Road. There's an accident taking up the HOV and two left lanes. Delays are about 10 minutes and back to Centerville, Ferguson with emergency vehicles arriving. That's your DFW traffic update. Be safe.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. 20 years ago, when my mom had lung cancer, she didn't have many choices. But today, you do. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer, please visit standuptocancer.org/lungcancer to learn more.
Do you want to reverse the early signs of aging? Hi, this is Bernadette. Do what I do. Pixel Perfect is an aesthetic laser treatment that lifts away years from your face. It can help reverse the early signs of aging and helps counteract years of sun damage or acne scarring. It provides noticeable results. Imagine a dramatic new you. To learn more, go to LynnRobertsMD.com. That's L-Y-N-N-E, RobertsMD.com. Or call 469-232-9300. That's 469-232-9300. And tell them that Bernadette sent you.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Do your summer parties need a little sparkle? Find everything you'll need, replacement bulbs for your patio lights, new string lights in a ton of colors, and installation hardware at Christmas Light Source. You can find us online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
This is Pete the Fast Greek, host of Race Talk, the motorsports talk show, heard every Sunday live from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 1190. When the races are over, we're just getting started with the latest news and results from NASCAR, NHRA, the IndyCar Series, and what's going on right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth racing scene. And remember, keep your racing on the track, not on the street.
From the PenFed Credit Union Weather Center, this afternoon it looks like we're going to have cloudy skies with a high around 82, a possibility for a thunderstorm, and tonight cloudy skies with low around 72. This report is brought to you by Cotton Patch Cafe.
Cotton Patch Cafe is starting its chicken fried road trip off on the right foot. Every Monday night, starting at 3 p.m., their award-winning chicken fried steak's only $7.99. Oh, my goodness. Even your mom and daddy can't miss this. Visit cottonpatch.com.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles and again our special guest, Dr. James Dowd from the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston. He is an associate clinical professor of medicine at Michigan State University College of Human Medicine. His latest book is called The Vitamin D Cure, which is based on his more than 20 years of related practice and research. Dr. Dowd, always love having you on the show. Welcome back to One Life Radio.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me, Bernadette.
Well, I always love having you on the show. I really do. And I know our listeners do, too. Today, we are talking about breakfast, the toughest meal to change. I love my breakfast. I really do. But I never eat cereal. So I want to know, where did breakfast cereal come from?
Well, the grain industry was booming in the 19th century. So in the 1800s, particularly before the Civil War. And we were getting increasingly more productive with our farming, with advancement in tools and milling techniques, and so we had to figure out what are we doing? What are we going to do with this all this cereal that we're making, all of this milled grain? And so the cereal manufacturers, the mills, basically said, we got to sell this as something. And so this idea that we can make, you know, it started out with oatmeal and rolled oats, and then the Kellogg brothers started playing with making flakes out of it. And other shapes as the machinery allowed them to. And so between the Civil War and the turn of last century, we had the birth of Quaker Oats, Post and General Mills, mm-hmm. Kellogg's, all of these big names that we're very familiar with came into being. And they marketed their products as a convenient, healthy replacement for breakfast pork. Because, you know, we all used to be on subsistence farming, live on subsistence farms, or a lot of us were back at that time. And we had a garden in the backyard, and we had some pigs, and we might have had a cow or two. And everything we ate came out of our backyard for the most part. And they said, how can we get these people to dump what's in their backyard and buy this stuff we have to sell? Here in Michigan, because a lot of these cereal companies started in the Midwest here, in the Chicago area, in Michigan. J.W. Kellogg, he was a Seventh-day Adventist and a vegetarian, and he thought, well, if we can get people off of meat and eating a plant-based diet, if I can make these grains taste better, but more importantly, if I can make it in a form that they would like to eat in place of their eggs and pork for breakfast, then I can sell this idea.
Well, what do you think about that? Do you think that's a better without the sugar, of course, and the starches, but eating a meat or eating a diet with a high percentage of meat in it, is that healthy?
Well, you know, you have to realize that paleolithically speaking, if you think about anthropology, the history of man on the planet, we've been hunter-gatherers since we left the forests in Central Africa some 4 million years ago, and we didn't start eating things like grain until we became efficient farmers, and we didn't start farming till about 12,000 years ago, so 4 million versus 12,000. And we didn't really get efficient at farming until about 5,000 years ago, and that's when you see the human population explode. You need the Greeks and the Romans and all of these populations, you know, 2000 BC started popping up. You know, really all of our genetics are based on the 4 million years of evolution, not on the last 5,000 years of evolution. Our body's metabolism is really adapted for that hunter-gatherer diet, which is meat or fish, fat that comes from the meat and fish, plant matter that's available seasonally and that is not farmed, fruit that's available seasonally, maybe insects, water. These are the things we were consuming lots of, and that made up our diet, not grain-based products. And grain is really, and people think of grain, but grain is really just the pulp of the seed of that particular grass. So an animal that eats, like a buffalo might eat wheatgrass, they're actually eating the entire plant. They're eating a vegetable-based diet that's green. We're only eating the pulp of the seed, which is just that starch that's in the seed. So we've really eliminated most of the valuable parts of the plant, and we've focused on just the starch.
Well,
and that's what you're getting in a cereal is just the starch from these seeds.
Well, you said the word focus. You prompted this question to me. You know, in fact, the Kellogg's brothers, J.W. and W.K., argued over the health value of adding sugar to the cereals. And the one brother, W.K., was more focused on making money. Needless to say, the addition of sugar produced greater sales. And that's where we are now, where so many children in this country, that's how they begin their day, with a bowl of cereal and milk.
And the cartoon industry just loved the cereal companies. All those Looney Tunes, everything you watched in the morning had probably a cereal company backing them in the late 50s, 60s, and 70s, and that was driving the production of those cartoons and luring the kids in. Oh, you know, I saw this cartoon. We got to go to the store and get some of this stuff. And so it was a brilliant marketing campaign to target children, and you know we know that with cigarettes, you know, the Camel, the whole society has figured out, okay, if we can get the kids hooked early, we'll have customers for life.
Well,
that's exactly what we learned from the cereal industry.
Well, and they say, you know, we've all heard it, you know, a million times, that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. But I have to ask you, how important is breakfast?
I think we're learning that instead of having a very simple, trite statement that becomes a mantra, that breakfast is the most important meal and you have to have breakfast, that sounds like something the Kellogg company made up because they want you to buy their product. You really want to know what are the goals? What are you trying to accomplish? How old are you? Where are you at in your stage of life? What's your metabolic rate? Are you a child growing? Are you in school learning? Or are you middle-aged? Or are you even an older adult? And I think that when you start asking these questions and you're looking at your metabolism or your goals, then breakfast becomes an opportunity for helping you achieve whatever goal it is you're trying to achieve. For someone who's trying to lose a lot of weight and they're middle-aged or older, maybe they want to eat very little for breakfast and burn mostly fat through the morning hours, and maybe they only want to eat one meal a day. Some people, you know, I had a patient in my office. He said he's about 6'2", but when I saw him, he was over 350 pounds.
Wow.
He said, I was only about 200 pounds. I worked as a plumber for 40 years. He said, I ate one meal. I'd get up in the morning, have 2-3 cups of coffee, go to work 15 hours, come home, eat a big meal, go to bed, and do it over again the next day. And I'm thinking, how does a 6'2", 200-pound guy that does a hard, labor-intensive job survive on one meal a day? Well,
yeah,
he did, and he didn't lose weight. He maintained his weight, and he was very physically active, and he did fine. When he retired, his wife said, well, honey, now that you're home, I'm going to cook you 3 square meals.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he immediately put on 125 pounds.
Wow.
And started having all kinds of health problems because his metabolism wasn't designed for 3 meals a day. So each of us has a very individual metabolism, and we have different goals in mind. You know, kids need protein. They're building bone. They're building muscle. They're growing their brain, and they need fat, and they need protein, and so their breakfast should reflect those needs. They need to have a well-balanced meal with meat, fat, and vegetables in it because those are the building blocks they need to accomplish what's going on throughout the day, and a Pop-Tart just isn't going to do it for them.
Yeah.
You know,
Dr.
Dell,
advice.
That leads to a question I have. Should you, like, let's say a middle-aged man or woman, you know, fairly active, should they change up their diet like they change a workout?
Yeah, I do think that in different stages of life, you have to reassess. You can almost look at it like from a financial perspective. You know, people say, well, in your early years, you can take more risk and you can have things in more risky stocks that are growing. But as you approach retirement, you need to get into safer investments and that aren't so risky because you can't afford to lose. Well, it's sort of the same sort of deal with your metabolism. You know, when you're young and you're building and you have all these hormones, growth hormone and estrogen and testosterone, and you're building infrastructure, muscle, bone, and you may be reproducing, you need a lot of nutrition from all of these food groups, and you may need a much higher calorie intake when you're at that stage of your life. In middle age, you need to probably cut back on the amount of food that you're eating. You may still need a balance of these things, but things are sort of steady state. And then when you reach 50-plus years of age and your metabolism is slowing down, you need only enough to not lose lean body mass, but you need to cut your calories back probably even further. which also means that as you cut those calories back, every bite you take has to be worth more nutritionally, so the nutritional density still needs to be there, if not higher, though the caloric density needs to drop. And the frequency of meals probably needs to fall back over 50.
Let me ask you about the nutritional value of like steel-cut oatmeal or farina. Or are you saying kind of shy away from those?
Yeah, those, you know, again, these are ways of trying to, you know, when the USDA food guidelines were pushing whole grains and they're backing, they're starting to back away with the new USDA food guidelines from making any kind of recommendations toward eating grain because people argue over what whole grain means. But that was the food industry's response to the FDA, the USDA guidelines of, oh, whole grains are good. Okay, so we'll start calling them steel cutouts, which means we're leaving more of the husk on there and we're giving them their whole grains. Again, that's why it's so important that the guidelines reflect what we actually should be doing, because the food industry pays close attention to what those guidelines say, and they design their products around those guidelines so they can use the guidelines as a marketing tool. So if the guidelines change, then they will change their products so they can continue to use the guideline as a marketing tool. So I think as they tell us that a balance of fat is important, you're going to start seeing labels on food that says savory. You know, they're going to use other marketing terms to say, okay, it has a balance of fat in it that's going to be enjoyable. I still think in our mind, again, just like breakfasts become a habit, in our brain we think, oh, fat is still bad. I can't get that out of my head.
Yeah.
So people are the food companies aren't going to market fat just yet. So they'll come up with other words like savory to get you to realize that, oh, it still has a balance of fat in it and it will have a lot of flavor. Yeah, you have to be careful. These a lot of these whole grain products that evolved over the last 10 or 15 years and are marketed heavily, again, are in response to what we thought was a healthy diet. Lots of grains, 7 servings of grains.
Right.
I don't know how I could get 7 servings of grain in a day without being the size of a blimp.
Oh, well, let me ask you this. One more question, and then we got to go. We're out of time again. Should I exercise before or after breakfast, Dr. Dowd?
Well, I choose to, again, this is sort of like the what should I, why is breakfast the most important meal? It's an opportunity to do several things. So when you exercise, when I exercise, I choose to exercise before I eat for several reasons. One, I know if I save it for some other time of the day, it won't happen because I tried that, okay? When I get up in the morning, I have such a busy day. This is the only time of day where I actually have a lot of control over my time. So for those major reasons, if I want to exercise every day, I have to put it in the morning. Now, there are other spin-off benefits to that. One, when I exercise, I raise my metabolic rate, and we know from lots of studies on athletes that rise in your basal metabolic rate remains in place for many hours after you've stopped exercising. It could be anywhere from 3 to 5 to up to 10 hours after you've exercised, depending on the intensity of your workout, your basal metabolic rate is higher, which means I'm burning more calories throughout the whole day, even though my exercise routine was only 40 minutes in the morning. And when you eat after you exercise, you assimilate more of those nutrients into lean body mass, bone and muscle. So more of that protein is going into bone and muscle. More of those nutrients are building structure and maintaining lean body mass as opposed to being stored as fat.
Dr. Dowd, I always love speaking with you. I really, really do. Thank you so much for coming on One Life Radio again. The Vitamin D Cure book by Dr. James E. Dowd. I highly recommend it. It's awesome. Thank you again so much.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. You know what? And in the words of one of my favorite guys, Benjamin Franklin, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. You're listening to One Life Radio. We'll be right back.
It was a beautiful day. Sun beat down. I heard the radio walk. I was driving.
Here's the latest from Rio on Talk Radio 1190, brought to you by Rodney Anderson.
Day 10 of the Summer Games, and the U.S. men's volleyball team returns to the court later this morning as the Pool A preliminaries continue. The U.S. will face Mexico. Volleyball quarterfinal play begins on Wednesday. Up to the minute, Summer Games info available at iHeartRadio.com/Rio.
Rodney Anderson salutes our 19 North Texas athletes competing in Rio. And on the home front, his team of champions can help you refinance and close quickly. Call 1-800-EXPRESS or RodneyAnderson.com. Supreme Lending is an equal housing lender. MLS number 196730. 4975 Preston Park Boulevard, Suite 800, Plano, Texas.
From the Talk Radio 1190 Traffic Center, here's traffic.
We've got a jackknife to 18-wheeler delaying traffic on 20 westbound, starting at Spur 408 and running back to Main Street. It's over on the shoulder of the ramp. 30 westbound at 551 in Rockwall County. Long-term road construction delays back to Industrial Park. Got a wreck clearing on 30 westbound at Carroll Avenue in Dallas with backups to Dolphin Road. 635 LBJ Freeway westbound at Plano Road. There's an accident taking up the HOV and two left lanes. Delays are about 10 minutes and back to Centerville, Ferguson with emergency vehicles arriving. That's your DFW traffic update. Be safe.
Does your child struggle to concentrate and pay attention? What looks like ADD or autism may actually be caused by lead poisoning. Lead is a neurotoxin. It can cause permanent brain damage. Find out how to protect your family. Go to LeadSafeAmerica.org.
Hey, sports nutrition fans. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to the ISSN.org. That's the ISSN.org.
We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
I'm Simon Cowell for PETA. Far be it from me to be critical, but I find it really appalling that this year thousands of dogs will die of heat stroke inside parked cars. There, people thought that that little errand would only take a minute, or it wasn't that hot. But delays happen, and temperatures inside a car quickly rise in summer, even when the window's cracked. Never, ever leave your dog inside a parked car. Your dog idolizes you. In warm weather, keep him safe at home.
Hi, folks, this is Mosquito Steve, and I have a new show on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Check us out for information on mosquitoes and natural products, organics, and good business practices. Saturday at 1 p.m., it's the Mosquito Steve Show.
From the PenFed Credit Union Weather Center, this afternoon it looks like we're going to have cloudy skies, a slight possibility for a thunderstorm with a high around 82, and tonight cloudy skies with a low around 72. This report is brought to you by Dirt Cheap.
Dirt Cheap, now open in Carrollton, Ennis, and White Settlement. Name brands 30 to 90% off every day. Liquidations, closeouts, and more from major retailers. Name brand housewares, clothing, furniture, and more Dirt Cheap. See more at ilovedirtcheap.com or on Facebook.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley and Alan North. And I've got Elise Saprina in the studio. And I've got Jamie Dannett coming up. She is our entrepreneurial spotlight from Hum Kombucha. Jamie leads Hum with the endless energy, abundant optimism, and a big heart. I met her at the Expo West, so did Alan. Wonderful woman. I immediately felt her positive energy. Those traits have enabled her to find success at numerous startups during a career spanning more than 20 years. Previous to her time at Hum, Jamie founded and served as CEO and National Sales Director of JLD Enterprises. It's a multi-million dollar consulting firm before pivoting to create EON Organics, a natural products company with distribution throughout the East Coast. And using those skills and knowledge that she gleaned from those successes, Jamie is now focused on driving the strategy, sales, and business development side of Hum Kombucha. Her passion is to make Hum a market leader and to bring the healthiest, best-tasting product, her Hum Kombucha, to customers all over the country, all over the world. And Jamie is amazing, and I can't wait to talk with her.
I can't wait to talk to her too. I think she was given the wrong phone number.
She
but
was.
She's going to be calling
so
in.
So she'll be calling
soon.
In a second.
You know, it's crazy. We met Jamie at the Expo West, and I've been wanting to go to the Natural Products Expo West for about 10 years. That was the first time you've
Me
been.
Me too.
That was the first time you've ever been too. And can you believe it? I just realized that the Expo East, they have two every year, the Expo West, which is the biggest one, and then the Expo East. And can you believe it? Expo East is already next month.
Really?
Yeah, we should go to it. I wonder if Jamie will be there.
It time flies. Well, you know, Jamie, one of the things that she and Michelle set out to do was to make the tastiest kombucha ever, and not only to offer in bulk, but to minimize environmental impact and to make it affordable to everyone. And when she gets on here in a second, I want to ask her, I believe it is the official drink of the Seattle Seahawks. Is that right? And of course, it's made in Portland, which we're on 6 days a week in the Portland market, Monday through Saturday. They like the show there so much, they play it on Saturdays too.
That's right.
It's Kombucha O'Clock.
It is.
I'm pulling that from the movie. We went to see the movie this weekend, Hell or High Water. And one of the funniest lines out of the whole movie, and you got to go see it. It's at the Angelica here in Dallas, Texas. I don't know where it's playing throughout the country, but it is like a modern cowboy Western. And it was
good.
It was so good. Jeff Bridges. And then there's two other hotties that were in it.
I have to say that it was I think it was the best movie I've seen all year.
It's a really funny movie, but the one guy who was the real, you know, shoot 'em up cowboy, you know, in the middle of one of the scenes says, "It's beer o'clock." It's like, it's beer o'clock. So I've been saying that ever since I saw the movie.
I know. It made me.
So now it's kombucha o'clock.
I know. That movie did make you crave beer, didn't it? They had beer like
and
the
kombucha.
Whole
well, that's the thing I like about kombucha is it's got the burn that I like so much, like a good glass of beer. And so, you know, I'm really anxious to talk to Jamie Danick. She is the founder of Hum Kombucha and part of our we're doing this regular entrepreneurial spotlight because as a young entrepreneur myself, well, I'm not so young anymore, but when I was a really young entrepreneur in my 20s, it's so awesome. You know, it's so awesome to be an entrepreneur and start up a company and just have great success through your passion and your hard work. You know, and like my dad used to say, if you're a really hard worker, no one will ever pay you what you're worth. So, honey, start a business. That's what my dad said to me many, many, many times when I was young. And of course, he had his own pizzeria. And my father was like had a 7-Eleven before 7-Eleven was ever popular. And I guess she didn't get that number yet. Doggone it.
That's all right.
It's beer o'clock.
We'll have her on again soon.
Well, you know, if it was easy to start up a business, everyone would do it. The truth of the matter, it's very, very difficult. It requires a lot of discipline. It always requires more capital and time than you think it is. I actually had somebody who wanted me to consult with, give them a consultant on starting up a business. And it was kind of funny. I haven't done it yet. I don't even know if I'm going to agree to it because... this person who's never started up a business said to my friend that one of the things that's the most important thing, and it's critical, any business that this person starts has to make money from the first day. And so I kind of like laughed out loud, like, oh, wow, they've got a huge hurdle to overcome here, because that's not how it works. You have to work really, really hard, just like you do in any business, any industry, the music industry.
Right.
People are in the music industry for 15, 20 years sometimes before they really get discovered.
You know, it's an interesting too, because I think, and you obviously have so much credibility in talking about that. You were the co-founder of two national restaurant chains. But it is true. I think a lot of people do have a misconception that you need, when you start a business, it needs to be making money immediately. And even your most conservative disciplined investors realize as it relates to a startup that you're going to be lucky if that startup is making money in the third year.
Absolutely. And you know, when you were talking, I always have this one memory. There was one day because Wingstop actually served lunch at first because we wanted to be open as many hours as possible because we had hired Rex Heckelman from Luby's and we paid him $60,000 a year salary. And that was a lot of money, you know, 20 years. Well, how many, I guess it was around 18. I'm trying to think how almost 20 years ago. Wingstop was founded in 1996, I believe, when we opened the first store on Northwest Highway, which they moved across the street. But I remember working one shift that afternoon because I would work there during the day and then go to the pizza place, Pizza Patron, which opened at 4. You know, you go and you make the dough and you get there. So anyway, I was doing lunch at Wingstop. We ran, but that day we rang $60 on the register the whole day. Okay, think about that. $60 the whole day. You know, Antonio and I basically working for free, paying Rex Heckelman $60,000. Then he had another worker, you know, easy. You build your crew as you go along. But we didn't make any money for probably, I don't know, like 9 months to 12 months, something like that. It was a long time.
Well, and you know what? And having known you for 5 years and hearing some of the stories, it's such a, you know, the thing about starting a business is that there's so many roadblocks, and there's so many people that are going to be the naysayers, and you had so many reasons
so
to
many
quit.
Naysayers. Somebody said you'll never be able to sell wings in a couple of sides. You'll never be able to sell pizzas if you can't deliver them. I mean, just right. There's a ton of naysayers, and you can't listen to
How
them either.
How are you going to get in the pizza business with so many pizza? But you
it's
started
saturated.
Did you start just get in the pizza business, but you started your first store in a pretty tough neighborhood.
Very tough. In the not-so-pleasant Grove, 5440 Jim Miller Road. The rent was, I think, $400 a month. Victor Ballas was our original. I don't even know if Victor is still around, but he was an awesome guy. And he really facilitated us. Gene Perkins, a very good friend of Antonio's, was instrumental in helping us as well. But it's very difficult to start a business. And we had no money. We didn't even have money to finish off the front counter initially when we first opened. It took us about 2 months to earn the money to even finish off the front counter. So, you know, if you're thinking about starting a business, I say do it. Don't let anybody stop you.
We should talk more about it. I think. Oh, yeah. Dr.
I get excited when I talk about how. I mean, I've lived a wonderful life. I have. I've been very, very lucky to have my health. But you know what, guys? I've always exercised, and I've always watched what I eat, and I got that from my dad. He was meticulous about it. He's the one. He's Italian. My mother's Irish, but not. I'm not dissing the Irish. I'm half Irish, but your health is your wealth.
It is.
And if you're healthy, you can do anything, and you're unstoppable. So just remember that.
It's true.
All right, everyone. Well, we'll have to have Jamie come on next week. I'm looking forward to talking with her about her company. But we've got Dr. Brad Dieter coming up. We're continuing our conversation about fructose and burying the boogeyman. You're listening to One Life Radio.
From the Talk Radio 1190 Traffic Center, here's traffic.
Jackknife 18-wheeler delays continue on 20 westbound at Spur 408 Parkway. They are working with a heavy wrecker and emergency vehicles on scene with this one. It is really folded over, and it looks like they're going to be working with it for a little while yet. Also got a stall in Fort Worth on 30 eastbound approaching East Loop 820 that's in the center lane. That's causing delays back to Oakland Boulevard. Be safe. That's your DFW traffic update.
She didn't just visit the sick and poor. She moved in with them because they needed help. Mother Teresa couldn't do it all, but she gave her all. Compassion. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
This is a Sun Warrior Superfood update. The makers of the cleanest vegan plant-based organic protein on the planet just got even more delicious. Now Warrior Blend is available in two brand new flavors, berry and mocha. And as always, non-GMO, dairy-free, gluten-free, and no artificial colors or sweeteners. It's organic, clean, and delicious. And right now, be the first to try it at sunwarrior.com before it hits stores nationwide. And for a limited time offer, visit sunwarrior.com and use the coupon code OneLifeWarrior to get 20% off. That's sunwarrior.com and use the coupon code OneLifeWarrior. That's sunwarrior.com.
Constipated? Bloated? Ugh, that's the worst feeling. Get things moving with Good Move capsules from the makers of Squatty Potty. Good Move capsules are formulated with only the finest ingredients like organic herbs, probiotics, and digestive enzymes. So get your colon healthy and make a good move. Happy colon, happy life. Go to SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
question, how do you get real tips on buying a car? We'll start right here every Saturday morning to find out with General Manager John Ingram, host of Your Next Car. 30 years of automotive experience making the difference every Saturday from 8 to 9 on Your Next Car.
From the PenFed Credit Union Weather Center, this afternoon it looks like we're going to have cloudy skies, a slight possibility for a thunderstorm with a high around 82, and tonight cloudy skies with a low around 72. This report is brought to you by Dirt Cheap.
Dirt Cheap, now open in Carrollton, Ennis, and White Settlement. Name brands 30 to 90% off every day. Liquidations, closeouts, and more from major retailers. Name brand housewares, clothing, furniture, and more dirt cheap. See more at ilovedirtcheap.com or on Facebook.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Elisa Prina, Alan North, Lexi Brinkley, and I've got Dr. Brad Dieter on the line. Today we're talking about fructose and burying the boogeyman. That is a continuation from last week when we were talking with Dr. Dieter. He's a certified sports nutritionist from the ISSN, a research scientist, a nutrition coach, and an aspiring Olympic weightlifter. He also runs the blog www.sciencedrivennutrition.com, which strives to bridge the gap between science and the public to bring the best information in the industry straight to you. So how are you doing today, Dr. Dieter?
I'm doing well. How are you guys? Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday.
Hey,
meatless Monday.
Hey, Dr. Dieter. Hey, it's Alan. I got to ask you just a quick question because I haven't spoken to or heard from Dr. Joey Antonio in a year, and I've known him for about 25 years, literally. And how's he doing? I just wanted to find out.
He's doing well. Yeah, I talked to him probably a couple, I think like 3 weeks ago. Seems like he's doing pretty well from the last I talked to him.
Yeah, he's so great.
He's
we miss
so
him.
Awesome.
I think he's enjoying the summer, and he's, every time I talk to him, he's out to lunch eating sushi. So I think he's living the good life.
And he was on the radio just like you are every Monday for 2 years, and I think every time he called in, he would say, "I just got done paddleboarding."
Yeah, paddleboarding or eating sushi.
I need to figure out how to live his life.
I know.
Yeah. Well, today I love what we're talking about, and I'm sure Dr. Joey would find it interesting as well. Fructose, burying the boogeyman. So, what is fructose, and why is it so hammered and hated by social media and social stigma?
Because it makes you really fat.
Yeah, so fructose is basically just the sugar that's found in fruit. So it's similar to glucose, but it's just biochemically just a little bit different, and how our body processes it is not like normal glucose, so it gets a lot of attention in mainstream media, especially since it's often sweeter. We perceive it as sweeter than glucose, so we make high fructose corn syrup and to use that to flavor things. So we get a little bit more fructose intake now than we did, you know, decades ago, and kind of that's coincided with a lot of the rise in obesity and a lot of chronic health problems. So it's kind of been nailed on the wall as one of the targets to go after.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Alan?
I want to ask you one quick question about high fructose corn syrup. Is it true, because you hear this a lot, that if you overdo it with high fructose corn syrup, could it damage your liver in the same way when it's looked at, that it looks like an alcoholic?
You know, there's no evidence to suggest that taking even, you know, moderate to high amounts of high fructose corn syrup results in the same effect as alcohol on the liver. Now, depending on how much you take, it's possible, but there's no data to suggest that in a normal, healthy person, you know, even having up to 100 grams a day is going to cause the same problem.
Well, you know, when you were on last time, we were talking about eating fruit, even up to 4 or 5 servings per day is not going to contribute to obesity or increased blood lipids. But it also appears that moderate consumption of fructose as an added sweetener doesn't convey much risk either. But maintaining or mainlining Mountain Dew or consuming more than 150 grams of fructose or high fructose corn syrup per day does seem to be a bad thing. Why?
So it just really, a lot of it comes down to two things. One is overall just calorie intake. So, you know, if you're if you're taking in 150 calories of, you know, high fructose, or 150 grams of high fructose corn syrup, that's 600 calories just from beverages, right? And add that. Those usually don't come in lieu of other foods. They usually come on top of. So mm-hmm. that 600 extra calories is really going to cause some additional, you know, obesity-related problems. But then it appears that when you look at the research in humans, that 150 grams a day starts to get to the point where your liver can't process that much at a time, just because that's just a lot of anything, right?
Yeah, it is.
So then that's when it starts to get some changes in your blood, lipids, and things like that. But under that amount, your body can do a pretty good job of kind of handling it and moving it to where it needs to be without a lot of changes in blood lipids.
Well, and fructose is the fruit is the sugar in fruit, and it's a natural it's a natural occurring thing. It's when you get into the high fructose corn syrup is when you really have the problems. It appears, because it's so much, isn't it like 100 times sweeter than table sugar or something like that, when your palate experiences it?
You know, I'm not sure if it's 100 times sweeter, but I know that it does have a sweeter taste than normal sugar. But you know, one of the things a lot of people don't realize or really think about is, you know, table sugar is 50-50 glucose and, or it's, so sucrose, which is table sugar, is 50-50 glucose and fructose.
Hmm.
But high fructose corn syrup is really not that much different. It's 45% glucose and 55% fructose. So there's really not that much more fructose in high fructose corn syrup than table sugar. So if you're thinking you're going to substitute high fructose corn syrup for normal sugar and get some sort of benefit, that won't happen either.
Well, and the problem too, and this is how we kind of got off the train tracks last time you were on, we started talking about high fructose corn syrup being mostly genetically modified. It's cheap to produce. They don't even make a high fructose corn syrup that's organic, do they? Has anyone ever heard of that? Do they?
I'm sure you can if you make organic corn and then turn it into high fructose corn syrup. I'm sure you could put that label on it, but I don't think that would really mean anything.
It would just be organic poison, basically. but you know what? To add to Bernadette's question, Dr. Dieter, you always hear about, you know, obviously fructose is the sugar that's in fruit, but that's different. That's packaged naturally. It has fiber, vitamins, minerals, and we hear that it has a low glycemic index, and so it's not so bad. But high fructose corn syrup, in other words, what's the threshold of grams ingested to where, all right, now you've ingested so much that now it is going to have a spike in your insulin?
You know, I don't know the exact threshold of how much fructose you need to take to get an insulin response. But even then, just the way the body works, if you take a lot of fructose and you get some sort of insulin response, what that means doesn't really mean a lot of times what people think it means. And so, you know, your body, how it processes fructose is most of it just gets burned by the liver. Some of it gets turned into just normal glucose, so it takes the fructose molecule and turns it into normal sugar. Some gets turned into lactate, and then a very, very tiny fraction, I think it's like less than 1%, gets turned into any sort of, you know, lipoprotein or lipid or anything like that. So. Mm-hmm.
But no. doesn't it, like, obviously this country is metabolically challenged. I mean, we have a huge obesity issue. Like, so in other words, the average person that ingests a ton of high fructose corn syrup in the form of soda, that's going to be converted. I mean, it's going to turn into body fat, isn't it not? Is it not?
No, that's one of the myths surrounding fructose. So most people think if you're overweight and you're heavy and you drink some, you know, you drink pop, it's going to immediately turn into body fat. And that's really not how it works. You know, their livers, while they're often compromised and there's kind of beginning stages of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, they won't directly turn that into body fat. It's usually because they consume it in the context of a lot of other calories and a lot of other foods. So if they were, you know, kind of on a normal diet and they were losing weight and they had, you know, a soda a day, it really wouldn't be directly turned into body fat.
Yeah. ahead.
It's interesting though, because when on the subject of body fat, which is a subject that so many of us are interested in, it does seem like there are two different, or maybe even three or four different roads to get to the same goal in terms of losing fat. In other words, mm-hmm. we know that high protein, low fat, eating frequently throughout the day helps with body fat. We know that a ketogenic diet that's high fat and low carb could help you lose body fat. It, to your exact point, it seems like when those types of ingredients like fructose is combined with high fat content is when the problems start to occur.
Yeah. And so let me ask you this. So how can the food manufacturing industry stray away from using fructose so heavily? Why do they use it so heavily, other than the reason that it's just cheap?
I think there's several fold. Is, you know, one, it's cheap. Two, corn is subsidized by the U.S. government. So we have a lot of corn crops and we need to pay farmers. And so they need to do something with that corn. So you can turn the corn into fructose and use it to, you know, sweeten foods and add specific textures to salad dressings and stuff like that.
Hmm.
And then I think the other big, more systemic piece is our palates and our food interests really dictate what sells. And so whatever we buy off the shelf is what manufacturers will make more of. So if we're buying more highly sweetened foods, we're going to really tell, you know, the industry that we want more high fructose, corn syrup containing foods.
I've got to cut you off. We are out of time. Sugar cells and sex sales, right, Dr. Dieter?
Yes.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. You know what, everyone? We are out of time. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.